Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting at the roundtable this morning. What a beautiful Saturday morning. It is absolutely gorgeous. The sun is out. It's just peeping through my windows, and I can just close my eyes and see the rays of the sun. I tell you, everybody's moving around. They're so excited. They feel like they've been let out of prison. Spring is in the air. It has been an interesting winter, although they say it may come back tomorrow. But yesterday was 87 degrees. I spent the day with my daughter. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. It was like all hands on deck. Everybody was playing yesterday. What a great day to be alive. I just want to thank God for the opportunity to be here, to be able to do whatever he's asking me to do this day. Each day comes with its own agenda, and whatever happened yesterday, you know, today's a new agenda. We may not have completed everything we wanted to complete yesterday, but we have an opportunity today, and we thank God because so many people have made their transition, hopefully back to the Father. But hopefully they've completed their journey. If not, then I don't know how that works, but, you know, we may not all get it done. But I feel like I had a friend to tell me, he said he had a near-death experience, and during that time, he could actually see his life flashing before him. It's like a movie. And he also saw things that he had to complete, and therefore he was sent back. And those things are still on his agenda to complete before he comes. So, you know, it's the mysteries of God. But all I know is that don't beat yourself up what you didn't do yesterday, what you didn't complete, what did not happen, somebody did you wrong. You know, let it go. It doesn't matter. What matters is right now, the present. How do you feel right now? Just live in this moment and know that God has blessed you with another opportunity. For what? To serve him. So we all should be saying, Father God, thank you. What is it that I can do for you this day? That's the agenda. So let me go to the switchboard. Can I find my co-host, Cynthia Oliver? Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm fine, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am wonderful.
How are you this morning? Good job. Good job. All is well. I can, like as all of us, we all can complain. I can find something to complain about, but how about it? I won't. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We can all dig up. We ain't really got to dig up nothing. I mean, there's stuff right there you can complain about. But we
put
have
your
to make
hand
a choice.
On it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the choice is I choose not to concentrate on anything negative. I choose not to complain. You know, we've done that our life. I've done it all life. What good is it? Does it serve anything? Nothing. It tears down the body, keeps you depressed. You know, it's robbed you of your joy, your peace, and your happiness. Let it go. Just live every second 86,400 seconds in a day. Come on. You don't want to live every one of those seconds in misery, you know? So let's make it
not every day. Not every day. It's tiresome. Girl, it's tiresome. What you talk about, I choose to not even, We're going to keep it moving. As you and I always say, we're going to keep it moving, darling.
In
the right direction.
That's
towards the Father. We're going to keep it moving in the direction of our Heavenly Father. And that way we learn to be content in the moment.
Yes. All right. Would you like to do a short prayer for us this morning?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. We choose to be rejoice and be glad in it this morning, as far as much as we have suggested. So, Father God, we pray that prayer over the audience. Father God, we pray that they will find something in their lives that they can be thankful for so they can be content in this day. So this is, I heard something, I read and wrote a quote on the board this week, Father God, that said that health is our greatest gift. It says that faith is our greatest relationship and contentment is our greatest wealth. But Father God, those words have been ingrained in my mind since I saw them and wrote them on the board. For it is in this, Father God, that we are able to continue this journey with a sense of appreciation. We appreciate you, Father God. We appreciate you, Lord and Savior, for all that you've done in order that we can have this life and have it more abundantly. Abundance don't come in things, but in contentment, being able to know that it all belongs to the Heavenly Father. So it all belongs to us, whatever you have for us. And so, Father God, we just say thank you. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We, as Dr. Fletcher pointedly said, there are those who didn't wake up this morning who have transitioned. And so, Father God, every day that you allow us on this side of heaven, we ought to be thankful. So, Father God, I come thanking you, Father God, for all that you've done and all that you will do and that you continue to do in my life. I thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to share, to be able to share the word, the good news, if you will, concerning what you have said about all things. And that's really what it's all about. So with that, I say amen, amen, and amen, and good morning, audience.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. I tell you, it is an awesome opportunity just to know that God created us to not only to serve him, but to love on him. You know, he needs love too. And when we look at it, you know, you give, a person said to me years ago, you want something, whatever you want, give it and you'll get it. You know, a lot of times with relationships with husbands and wives, the wife said, well, you know, he comes in and he don't kiss me. He don't do this for me. They don't do that. Well, do you do that for him? Because if you kiss him, then you get a kiss back. You know, it's just that we, with God, we take him for granted a lot of times. We expect for him to give to us. But if we want to receive from God, we need to give to him because we made in his image. And if we have the feeling of wanting to be loved, what do you think God has? He has the feeling that wants to be loved too. So he wants us to love him back. That's the only reason he created us, so that we can love and dote on him. There's nothing we can do that he has not created or have the ability to create. It's just that he wants love too. And that's my, you know, take on it. You know, we got to give love to get love. So I'll be right back, Cynthia. Thank you for your prayer this morning and your thought.
Yes,
audience, thank you so very much and for joining us this morning. It is absolutely a pleasure to get up on Saturday morning. I could not say that a few years ago. I'm telling you, oh, my goodness. When I first started this, God asked me to do this thing. I was like, oh, on Saturday morning? Are you serious? Who wants to get up on Saturday morning and do this? you know, because when he first asked me to do it, I don't know, some of you have been with me for a while, and you know, might have heard the story, and some of you, you know, newcomers, you probably never heard it, but I'm just going to say it this morning. When he first asked me to do the radio program, and we've been doing this particular radio program for, I think it's 9 years this year. Might be 10 in December. I done lost count somewhere along in there. But a couple years prior to that, he asked me to do a radio program. And I thought I was so busy. I was like, look, I don't have time to do a radio program. Plus, I was afraid to do the radio program because I'm thinking, I don't know who's out there. I may not speak correctly. Lord, I just had all kind of excuses, you know. How do you do it? I don't even know how to do it. And Holy Spirit kept leading me to different venues to produce the radio program, and I found one, and I started the radio program, and I decided I wanted to do it on Monday night. You know, Saturday was just not an option. I like to go play on Saturday mornings. If not, I did mother and daughter workshops on Saturday mornings. I cannot get up on Saturday morning and do a radio program. So I chose Monday night at 7 o'clock. Well, don't you know, every Monday at my office, I'm just barely getting home, rushing, and it was just awful. And I did it for about a month. And it was a complete differently set up from this. I had someone that ran the switchboard, and they co-hosted, and, you know, pick callers, call in, and it was another person that ran that whole system. Whereas with this system, I have to run it myself. And about a month, I just said, you know what, this is too much. I can't handle this. And the Lord let me by for about a year or so, and he told me, I told you to do this radio program and said it in such a way, I tell you, audience, when I started, I was like a little kid, screaming and hollering, kicking, didn't want to get up on Saturday morning because we think Saturday morning is the best morning for sleep. You've worked all week. You know, it's my time. And I had that in me, and I would get up, and I would say, oh, Lord. And I'd struggle and trying to figure out what to talk about. It was just a struggle. And finally, it dawned on me. I just said, Holy Spirit, I cannot do this by myself. I can't. And when I said that, all of a sudden, this whole thing about the radio program in my mind and my heart took a shift. And I said, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. I get up in the morning time. I will say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to talk about today? What are we talking about today? That's all I'm going to say. I do that when I first open my eyes, whatever time it is, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever, on Saturday morning. And I wait. And if he's talking to me, I'll jot a couple things down. But I don't have that battle going on anymore. I don't even think about it because I know I don't have to worry about what's going to come out of my mouth. Because when the Holy Spirit takes over, my eyes close and he just starts talking. And when he starts talking, I'm like, I don't have to do anything. It's effortlessly for me. And it became such a smooth sailing that I get up on Saturday morning now and boom, boom, boom. And then the devil tried to mess with my computer. I had to get a new computer. Okay, now I can just get up and put my stuff together on the switchboard. I don't have to fight the computer, you know, a few minutes. I got time to have coffee and my toast in the morning and sit down and actually eat it without rushing and trying to eat it and write and talk and do the computer and all that stuff at the same time. Because I know what? He said, within the hour, I will place on your heart what you need to say. So when we get to that confident level, mothers and daughters, that we can just say, I need help, Holy Spirit. I don't know how to do this. That's why he's with us. If you say, you have the Holy Spirit. There's no reason that you have to run around and figure out how to do something. The enemy will just take you on a joyride, take you all around the mulberry bush, all around the mountain, I would say. You could do that 40 years until one day it just hits you and say, you know what? Help! I need help, Holy Spirit! All of a sudden, all that you've tried to do at all those years looks really, really silly, at least in my point of view for me. When I just should have said that from the very beginning, the radio program would have been on almost 12 or 13 years now. But I was determined. I was busy. Who am I here to serve? Who am I here to work for other than God? So I don't have a schedule. My agenda is His agenda. I get up in the morning and I say, what is it that you want me to do for you today? And I literally mean that. And when you say that, God will send someone across your path. If nothing but someone to pray for, someone to give some advice to, someone that just needs a little loving in your tone, just to hear your voice. I had a gentleman call me, and this is not anything that, you know, when people say gentlemen and women, they think it's some love relationship. No, he's a Christian man, but he told me, he said, when I get stressed, just to call you, and when I hear your voice, and when you say something to me, when I have a question and you say something to me, he said, I just get at ease. It's just an easement come over me. I can feel the Spirit from what you're telling me, and I know that Holy Spirit is telling you to tell me that. What a blessing is that? What a blessing is that? And I'm not saying that makes me greater than anybody else. We all have that capacity. All we got to do is just ask the Holy Spirit to use and guide us, and He'll tell us what to tell other people. He'll tell us what to say. To be a comfort to someone else. We are Jesus' mouthpiece. We are His extended ministry. And in order for Him to get His word out, to get His message out, He has definitely got to use us, those who are willing to let Him use. And He will tell you. And then once you start and someone, and you're willing, He'll constantly send people across your path. Because He knows you will tell them what He said, and you won't try to twist it and make it into something you think that they should hear, or take advantage of the position that someone trusts you to tell them what you think they should hear. You know, you can't play those kind of games. You got to be honest. That's what you call blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You can't play with the Holy Spirit. So if He tell you to say something, you better say it the way that He says it, because otherwise, now you're in danger. The person that you're talking to is not in danger. You're in danger because now you're falsifying information and evidence and making it appear as if it's real, and that's not good. So all of that coming out of my mouth, it wasn't planned, it wasn't in no way in my script. That's the Holy Spirit. So again, good morning, mothers and daughters. I have good news for you. God is speaking to mothers and daughters around the world. We are here at the round table every Saturday morning just to discuss whatever the Holy Spirit wants to talk about. I don't know who it's for, but I know it's for someone. Whatever topic the Holy Spirit comes up with, He knows that wherever this message goes, Facebook, iTunes, whatever it is, people going back looking at it, listening to it later on, somebody will hear this message and the Holy Spirit will speak to someone. It's no difference than anything else that you've ever heard. The message is for someone, and they will get it. The Holy Spirit will make sure that they get it because it's His message. And we're based on Ezekiel 16:44, as God said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. And that's, you know, that's basically what it boils down to. As is the mother, so is the daughter. And a lot of times people want to debate with me about that, and they'll say to me, well, I'm not like my mother, and I don't like the fact that you say that as is the mother, so is the daughter. I can't tell you how many times people debate with me about that. Yeah. Even my own daughter said to me one time, she said, but Mama, that's just, have you read that? I said, yeah, I read it. But it's so negative. Okay. What do you want me to do about it? That's God's word. He said it, not me. I didn't write it. And then if you look at the Bible itself, the whole thing is negative. Paul killing, and when I take that back, not the whole thing, let me read that, the stories that he gives. He gives the most extreme negative stories so that you could see. Paul killed 3,000 Christians. But he did what? He pulled them in, and Paul wrote 2/3 of the Bible. So if he gives you all the good stuff, you wouldn't really be, your mind wouldn't be shocked enough to say, wow. You know, because good, it would just float around. I'm trying to think how to say, what I want to say, it wouldn't grab your attention enough to make you think beyond that thought. So when he said, as is the mother, so is the daughter, yeah, he's talking about a daughter taking the mother's husband, a daughter taking her sister's husband, sleeping with them. Come on, that ain't nothing new. We know that happened today. These same things going on right now. A man going with the mother and the daughter. So what God is saying, these things have happened, will happen, and going to happen. But if you, as a mother, need to be conscious of your relationship with your daughter, that you would have such a relationship, such a bond with your daughter, such a love affair with your daughter, that she dare not even think about going with your husband. You know, she wouldn't dare because she loves you. She adores you. She respects you. So, yes, he's going to give you the extreme situation to say, this is not what I want you to do. So if you do these things, then it's more likely your daughter are going to do these things. Now, God can send someone along your daughter's path, someone come along and put the word of Jesus in her, and she can take another journey. But that demon, demonic spirit, as a child, you're going out, you're creeping, you're doing what you do, you come home, you wash yourself off, you think you're okay, nobody knows but you. That demon spirit follows you right back home and attach itself to the spirit of your daughter. We're all spiritual beings. And that's why when you see a girl that's 12 or 13 years old, she wants to act out. Because what? Those spirits are beginning to move around. She's growing. She wants to live in it. We have to be able to speak to the infirmities in our children and call them out. There are no perfect mothers and there are no perfect daughters. That's why we have to stay in the Word, look at the situation, and then let the Holy Spirit speak to us and then tell us which way we should go, the right way. I hope that makes sense to somebody. I feel like I may have been going back and forth and rambling, but I'm trying to explain the way it's being taught to me, say it to me in my heart. So I hope that you get that. Our stimulating topic this morning is the strength of a mother and daughter relationship. I didn't even plan all that, and it ties right back to where I am. The Holy Spirit has a plan here. Just follow it. Just follow it and listen. And whoever he's speaking to, you're going to get it. You'll feel something in your heart. You'll know it's for you. So get your pen and paper and your favorite drink and sit back and relax. And we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, and we're at the round tables here on Blog Talk Radio talking to mothers and daughters around the world. Strength, the strength of a mother and daughter relationship. How powerful is that? Let's see. Let's move on down here. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about there should be no division between a mother and her daughter. And I didn't look at this as being a sequel. I was just doing them, like I say, as the Holy Spirit say. But this morning, I look up and I said, well, Holy Spirit, this is a sequel here. This is third. It all ties in. Yeah. You know, look at you. You surprised that I know what I'm doing? You know, that's a joke between Cynthia and I. We always say God, always say, look at them. They're cute. They're surprised that I've said or done something. It's just amazing how he works. There should be no division between a mother and a daughter. And we talked about the fact that a daughter is connected to her mother at conception, and that 9 months is the most important part of the development of the daughter, because that's where the temperament is formed. The temperament of the child, whether the child is going to be easygoing, going to be rowdy, going to be crying, you know, have peace or not. It all depends upon your experience during that 9 months. There again is a prime example of as is the mother, so is the daughter. Wow, thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just said that's a prime example. That 9 months, that daughter is held hostage in your womb to be born, has no way of coming out, has to stay in there, as you go through 9 months. It could be 9 months of pleasure, 9 months of hell, torment, whatever, that child will experience that and will take on a temperament, a personality is formed and developed through the foods you eat, the thoughts that you have, the conversations you have, the behavior that you take place in. Any action will affect that child in 9 months. And a lot of times people find that hard to believe. The results you'll see when she enters into the world. So we talked about there's no division. There should never be a division between a mother and daughter. At what time do you separate from your daughter? What time do you detach yourself or split up with your daughter? There is no such thing as a time that you can do that. A mother and daughter are connected for life, eternity. You come together because God placed you together. You travel on this journey together. And every mother and daughter journey is different because each one of you are different. Mother, you're unique. Daughter, you're unique. But there's a commonality that's between the two of you. And that is you have a bond that's very similar. And you have the opportunity, mother, to adjust that similarity. You know, you can separate from that daughter in your physical, not want to be with her. The daughter don't want to be with you. You want to live in your own world. I don't want to live in the East Coast. I'm going to the West Coast. I call my mother on Mother's Day. I may see her on Christmas. When people have children that don't call them until Christmas and Mother's Day, that's a separation. They have separated themselves from you. They're doing it out of the common courtesy of just saying hello. But when you got a daughter that have chosen to stay close in the area so that you all can communicate, can see each other regularly, that's a bond. That's a bond that you created when she was little. She can go and visit and travel and have fun, but she comes back because what? She's so close to her mother and a mother to her that she can't even imagine living 3,000 miles and not being able to see her mother but once a year. I'm not saying there's something wrong with that, because when you're away from somebody, you don't have to be away. There's a telephone, there is Skype, there is all kinds of things. But I, as a Christian clinical psychologist, I'm just speaking of some of the cases, and I guess I should say that so it'll clarify to mothers and daughters out there why I'm saying what I'm saying. I've had clients that tell me, the daughter says, no, I moved away. I moved away deliberately because I wanted to not have her in my life every day. She won't let me be. She won't let me make decisions. She won't let me grow up. And so I can't stay close to her. She'd be at my house every day. She just want, if I don't do it her way, she gives me hell because she don't want me to do it, and I'm trying to live my life. So, you see, when I hear these things and I tell the mother, well, you're running her away because you have to allow them to grow up. You can't control them in their adult life. You do all that you can do from conception to the time they leave your home. And after that, it's going to take some prayer, because if they decide they don't want to do it, you can't make them. It's impossible. So you have to get that relationship and that bond strengthened before your daughter leaves home. I had another client that called me in, and her friend referred me to her. And she said, Dr. Fletcher, she said, I'm calling you because my daughter's getting ready to go to college. She said, and we're in a place that is not good. And this was about May. A daughter graduated latter part of May, and maybe this is the 1st of June. She said she's going to college the 1st of August. And I'm afraid that once she gets to college, it's going to be years before we get back, because we have some things that we need to get straightened out. And that's where we started from. And I'm telling you, around 4 or 5 sessions, their bond was strengthened. She went away to college feeling that she knows she could call her mother. Her mother could call her. And they just grew. She said, I am so grateful we had that process, because I would have lost her for many, many years. I felt like when she went to college. That was her great escape. She wanted to escape from me. So we have to do what we can do from conception to 18. After that, whatever relationship you build, you know, you'll see the fruits from your labor. So that brings us to our stimulating topic for today again, the strength of a mother and daughter. And let's look at the word strength. When you hear the word strength, what's the first thought that comes to your mind? Mothers, what strengths are you giving to your daughter? What strengths are you giving to your daughter? Sometimes we just move along in life and we just do our thing. We're so busy trying to keep up. And it is, I mean, the world is moving really, really fast. There's so many things that if you're caught up in social media, if you're caught up in television, if you're caught up in radio, you have to be careful with what you're caught up in. Because what it does, our minds will mimic what we hear. And that's why I've taught my clients to do one thing, mind your mind. You have to mind your mind. You have to be very selective of movies that you listen to or see, people that you talk to, friends that you have in your life. Because if it's anything that's going to keep you from the Word of God or keep you from your relationship with Jesus Christ, which takes you to the Father, then you have to be careful of those things because there's an enemy out there that want to distract you. And there's so many distractions, so many distractions. And the biggest thing is to break up that bond between a mother and a daughter. Now, why does the enemy want to break up the bond between a mother and a daughter? Because that daughter has the potential of reproducing another generation. And his job is to stop the generation. He's got it so now that young lady says, well, you know, I don't want to have any children. I'm going to stay single and I'm just not going to have any children. Or, you know, the world is so bad, I don't want to bring children into the world. Anything to keep from reproducing another generation. He has a way of doing that. And then he wants to make sure that you, mother, think that your life is so busy, you don't have time to pour back into your daughter. Therefore, she's not getting all that she needs from you, as is the mother, so is the daughter. And then what? We're reduplicating the same generation. We're not growing up a new generation. When God spoke to me, he said, I want you to teach mothers and daughters, and I want you to raise up a whole new generation. I didn't know exactly what that meant. I'm like, raise up a whole new generation? You know, how do you do that? He said, simply by changing the mindset. So my job is only to impart information that will enter your mind and give you something to think about. And once you hear something that clicks, then hopefully you'll think, well, let me go to Jesus and ask him. Don't take my word for it. I know the Holy Spirit is speaking through me, but you may not know that. But you go to the Holy Spirit for yourself. That's the word that I bring to you, to seek him for yourself. Because if he told me and it's the truth, and I'm speaking the truth, he's going to tell you the same thing. Because the truth is the truth. So therefore, with our daughter's mother, we have to make sure that we stay as close to the line of truth as we possibly can. Because that daughter is watching, she's measuring, and she will judge according to that. So therefore, when you get ready to impart information into your daughter, she's using those visions, those thoughts that she has gathered up and put onto the sideline to measure the words that come out of your mouth. I've heard so many daughters say, I don't believe anything she says. She'll say something to me in front of other people just to make herself look good. Well, especially when she's in church. She's all holier than thou. and get in the car. It's that person before we can get out the parking lot and curse all the way home and talk to us like we're dogs. How many times have I heard children say that to me? But when she walks in the church, she's all holy, just speaking to everybody. Everybody thinks she's so nice. I'll never forget this young lady said, everybody thinks my mother's so nice. They just, oh, Miss So-and-so, Miss So, how you doing? And she, speaking to people, she said, and I always use the word Miss Jones, and she says, and she goes up to Miss Jones and tell her how pretty she is, and, oh, Miss Jones, you look so good today. And she just talked about Miss Jones somebody the other day. I can't stand Miss Jones. Miss Jones gives them my nose. See, this is what the children are hearing. We got to be careful with our conversations. Because they're measuring your conversations. The little three-year-old in the back of the car, you think she's drawing, and you talk to your girlfriend, and you talk. She is hearing you, and she is measuring who you are as a mother. They're very intelligent. So when we talk about the strengths, what strengths are you giving your daughter? Strength, I looked at four words, asset, gift, power, and might. A strength as an asset. The skill, the talent, the ability, or the blessing. Now, what asset are you giving to your daughter? Are you helping her? Are you giving her the skills to have a Christian life, the skills to know how to seek out God, to read the Bible? Are you dealing with her talents because God gave her a talent? Are you trying to make her be somebody you want her to be? Are you willing to work with the talent that God has given her because that's where her glory is, that's where her joy is, that's what God created her to be because that's where he gets the glory out of her being the best and developing that talent to the best of her ability. And then the blessing. Are you blessing your daughter? Do you bless her or do you curse her? You should bless your daughter. I don't care when I speak to my daughter, and we speak quite often in a day. I hate to even tell you because you wouldn't even believe it. But there's not a time that I speak to my daughter and not say, I love you. Every time. It just becomes not habit. Because that saying, I love you, is to bless her. You don't have to pray over for 15 minutes every time you talk to her. You pray over when you pray over, but you can say a little something. I'm so proud of you. I'm telling you, when you do that, it's just awesome. You're so good at that. Nobody can do that the way you do it. You're just awesome. And to develop our logos for the Bible College. And I looked at that thing, and I said, girl, this is good. I mean, it's awesome. You know, and I don't do it to pump up. I tell her the truth. If it's not good, I said, oh, that's not really good. Can you give me something else? But it's so awesome. It doesn't take anything off of a mother to bless her children. Because with your blessing, it just gives her the energy. It gives her the drive to just go and do more. Just to do more. And then the gift. Do you present her with a present? I'm not talking about Christmas and birthday. Do you just pop up sometime and just give her a present and just say, I was just doing this and I thought about you and I saw this and here, I just want to give you this. I contribute to something that she wants to do. You want to do that? Let me help you. Let me contribute to that to help you get that done. Reward her. You know, you're such a good daughter. Let me take you to lunch. Let's just go for a drive. Let's go to the park. Anything. It doesn't have to cost money. See, it's the heart that you're working with. This is how you strengthen your relationship with your daughter. And then you offer. You give an offering to your daughter. People think of offering. They think an offering has to go to the pastor or to someone, you know. Are you giving that as an offering? Are you giving that so somebody can say you that? Oh, I like her. She gives every time we do something. Yes, yeah. Pop all of that. That's good in its own way. But we got to grow up some new generations here. What are you doing in your house? As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What are you doing in your house? What offerings are you giving? Let me offer to help you. You're painting your room this week? Let me offer to help you. You're doing a book report? Let me offer to help you. You want to go somewhere? Let me offer to take you. Let me offer to give you and your friend something, or take you all to lunch, or give you the money to take your friend to lunch. What's the offering that you're giving? Because what you're doing, and once you start giving, see, as is the mother, so is the daughter. She's going to emulate what you're doing with her children. So what you're doing, you're preparing for your grandchildren. Because you want your grandchildren to be nurtured in love and to be given offerings and to be presented in some way of a loving thought from her mother. And her mother can't give that to her if you didn't give it to your daughter, and the daughter being her mother. So now we look at power. Are you helping your daughter to be powerful, or are you helping her to be dependent? Are you creating a codependency situation? See, you gotta empower your daughter to know that the strength that she needs doesn't come from you. It comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He's the Savior. He's the one that says, once you have received me, then he empowered you. And with that power, all things are possible. So to give power to your daughter is to give her Jesus. That's the power. You show her the potential of the things that she can do through Christ. You show her once she aligned herself with Christ, she can control the majority of the things that come into her life. She'll understand how to deal with influences, and she'll know through Jesus she has dominion over the world, and the world doesn't have dominion over her. And then you might want to look at might. How do I give my daughter might? Might is what? Might is a force. You built her up to be strong. You built her to hold her head up high, to look people in the eye, to give a strong handshake, to be mighty in her thoughts, in her energy, to possess a position that when she stands with authority. But if you're not doing that, mother, then you can't teach her that. See, she will follow you. If you act as if you are subordinate to others, or you have your head down your shoulder, or you're always thinking somebody else better than you, and you're praising someone else, and she don't see you with your shoulders up, she don't see you smiling, she don't see that joy in you, she's going to follow you. She's going to walk around with her shoulders down. She's going to walk around thinking that other people are greater than she is. You have to give her the capacity to know that you have everything in you that you need. Once you have Jesus Christ, all things are possible, and you are powerful, powerful young lady. And you keep saying that to your daughter. You keep telling her how powerful she is, and by all means, tell her how beautiful she is. You are such a beautiful young lady. You're so smart. You're powerful. You got Jesus. There's nothing that you can't do through Christ. Anything. What do you have in your heart? You know, somebody, the commercial says, what do you have in your wallet? No, what do you have in your heart? What do you feel, daughter, in your heart? What do you feel that God has placed on your heart to do? Find out what that is, mother. And you help her develop that, and you're going to see the greatness of your daughter. So even if we missed it as mothers somewhere along the line, we can come back and we can gather it all up. And it will be like yesterday never happened. You can start right now where you are. Get yourself together You go in there and says, I'm going to clean myself up. I'm coming before you, Lord, and I'm just going to put everything down. I'm going to repent. I want you to clean me up. You be as white as snow, as they say. Don't worry about, don't go back. Don't go back in your thoughts and start thinking about the things you used to do and the things you did. Now, don't even worry about that, because once Jesus cleaned you up, now you're done. Let it go. And hold yourself in a higher esteem. Hold yourself in a position that when your daughter look at you, she says, wow, what's wrong? You look different. Did you do your hair? Did you lose some weight? Because somebody's going to notice. You're cleansed. You're pure. And you start from there. And we can all start. There's no excuse thinking that somebody's ahead of you. Nobody's ahead of you. Jesus is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to come. And you go, you reach back, and you grab the hands of your daughter, and you bring her with you. I don't care how many daughters you have. Grab them all in your mind's eye and say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I bring all of my daughters. I bring all of my sons, and we kneel before you. And you go from there. Because the strength of the bond between a mother and daughter relationship is the measurement of the quality of relationship that you have. There's a tie, there's a connection, there's an attachment between a mother and a daughter. And remember, as I said earlier, that the bond or attachment between a mother and a daughter starts at the conception. The moment you conceive that child, it was on at that moment. So let me go back to Cynthia.
Yes.
Good morning, Cynthia, again.
I'm here.
The Holy Spirit is really talking about that strength and that bond, and that's what's going to get us through. What is your take on it?
Well, it is just in all of those things that you've mentioned throughout the show that strengthens the relationship with a daughter, a child. The greatest gift, as I suggested, that a mother can give to her child is that of the word and all of those things. Once that child is led to the word, then he or she will discover his or her own greatness. And it is the mother's responsibility to foster the greatness that God has given her. And as she does that, she is literally pouring back into the child what God has poured into her. And that is the know-how of elevating that child so that it automatically bonds the relationship. And out of that, it is strengthened. Because a mother who praises her child is a mother who gives unto her and blesses her child. A mother on the other end who curses her child, takes from her child, and weakens the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we as mothers, we get to choose. We're going to bless our children in order to strengthen, or we're going to take away from our children. And it's your choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As you have given birth to those children, you get to choose the relationship that you would have with your children. Yeah, you may be ill-prepared, but you mothers are responsible for gaining the wisdom and knowledge and know-how through the word in order to be able to return the favor, if you will. And you cannot do any of it effectively unless you have a relationship through Christ. Yeah, you can give a whole bunch of intellect, but if you don't gain understanding, you're not going to be able to pour that into that child. With regards to, yeah, we can give them a whole lot. The jail is full of intelligent people who have intellect, but when we neglect to lead them in the way of the Holy Spirit, who gives us understanding, then we have done a disjustice, and we continue to want something out of our children that they're incapable of having. because we simply have neglected, as the mother, to lead them in the way that they should go. And that strengthens the relationship as a whole. Because children admire mothers anyway. They admire their mother no matter who they are. They may be angry with them. They may be angry with them for the lack of compassion, for the lack of being there, for whatever reason. But when you start to, like you said, change, and that child noticed that change, and they notice how you are changing towards them, it can do nothing but strengthen the relationship.
Because they're watching you. And, you know, Cynthia, when you're saying that about the blessing, the Holy Spirit just reminded me. I started driving school bus when I was 14 and a half years old. I know that sounds crazy, but in South Carolina, that is the truth. So help me. I got my license 14. And basically been driving since I was 8, really by myself. It just sounds crazy, audience, but it is the truth. In South Carolina, you could do that. I'm driving the school bus, and I didn't know, but my mother had put such, you know, you was in church 24 hours a day. And people in the South understand that. I'm an only child, so I didn't have nobody to hang out with. Couldn't leave the children at home. I had nobody to stay home with. So wherever they go, I had to go. But the part that my mother put in me about, if you ever get in trouble, to call on Jesus. And as old as I am now, it is so alive in my head and my heart. But it took life when I got on that bus. I get on that bus every morning at 6 o'clock. And when I got on that bus, before I drove off, I would say a prayer. And I would ask the Lord to watch over me and see that I cause no danger and harm to fall upon anyone else, and that no one caused any danger and harm to fall upon me. And to this day, I say that when I get in my car to travel, to go anywhere. Simple prayer, but I say that. And I drove bus for 4 years of high school, 10 miles up, 10 miles back, every day. That's 40 miles a day. And God watched over me. Not an accident, nothing. Young. So when I had my daughter, here we go, the trickle-down effect. I'm blessing her every morning before she goes out to go to school. And then when the grandkids came along, I blessed them even though they wasn't even close to me. If I'm in Florida or wherever I was, New Hampshire, I don't care where I was, I would still think about them in the morning and bless them. And then one day my daughter said to me, she said, yeah, her and her husband, they pray over the children every morning and anoint them before they go out. See, once we start something, it becomes a family tradition. And you don't realize that it's happening until someone mentioned it. I didn't even know she was doing that. But see, we do what we are taught. And that's why it's so important, like you say, every child loves their mother. I don't care. I have been in some situations teaching and working with some people, and I'm telling you, I was in, I don't even call it the place, but I was in a place, and this lady came in. She had on flip-flops, and she had an afro comb in her hair, and she didn't comb her hair, and she just came. And I was talking to her, and I told her, you know what? I said, your children, they love you so much. But out of respect for your children and you coming with them, they're looking at other children in here with their mother. And if you just would just do a little something more, just for your children, to put some pride into them, I'm telling you, that lady changed. She didn't have on a bra. By the time we had the next meeting, she came in there, she had her hair fixed, and she had on some shoes, and she had a bra on, and her children were just skipping and jumping. You know, she had about a hand, they were just skipping and jumping, like, look at my mommy, this is my mommy, look at my mommy, you know. And she said, you know, no one has ever said that to me. I said, I had to really say that. You know me, Cynthia, we can find a way to say it now. We don't cut the mustard with people because it doesn't help them. I said, no.
Absolutely.
You have got to. Yeah, you got to do better. I said, because your children, their heads are down and they're ashamed. Don't you see that they're ashamed? You just come any kind of way, no bra on, are you serious?
And so from that day on, that lady went from there, her self-esteem just went up. I mean, she got a job, just things, because what? She was so depressed, and nobody had the nerve to say to her, look at your children. Because sometimes if a mother can feel that they're hurting their children, it'll pull at their heart, you know? You can get them quicker.
Yeah.
Look at your children.
Yeah.
They're hurting. They're hurting.
And the one thing I'd like to say, Dr. Fletcher, when you don't know better, you can't do better. But the mere fact that you took this opportunity and you took the time to say, you know what, this ain't really working, not for you, but for your children. And so she took it to heart what you said, because you cared enough to give her instructions. It's all about instructing. Mm-hmm. And mothers who, and even scripture tell us, and that's a part of discipline. Coming out of the house with a certain way about yourself. That's part of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
When a child lacks discipline in any area of his or her life, it's the mother's responsibility to impart that discipline in them. But when we don't know any better, we can't do any better. So you're responsible for doing better. And if you don't know how, you're responsible for finding out how. And it starts with picking up a book. If you can't sit in a classroom, just pull a book. I don't know how many times that I've struggled with something, Dr. Fletcher, over the course of my life after I came unto Christ. And I didn't know how it looked, didn't know what to do. And I'm one of these people, when I'm not doing well in my psyche, I know to go sit down somewhere and grab a book, because I need to gain some understanding about what's going on right now with me. Because I can't be the best mother that I can be when I don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't
and
know
especially
what's going
when you
on
wasn't raised
mind.
By your mother. Yeah, and you wasn't
Absolutely.
Raised by your own mother. You had to really seek out, even though your grandmother did a great job, there's something about that mother and daughter, you know, relationship that you know, grandmother can fill in, and that's why grandmother says, look, baby, I can help you with this child, but she still need her mother. Every grandmother that's worth her salt will tell their child that. I can help you,
Absolutely.
But she still need her
Absolutely.
Mother. Because she
Absolutely.
Realized that I can't give this child what you can give her. You know?
Absolutely.
So anyway, we're going to end with that, audience. You know, it's been it's just awesome to know that you even tune in and listen. You know, pass the message on, tell somebody to come back and listen. But I just want to say, next week, we will not be on the air next week. We are going to be in where, Cynthia? L.A.
California!
We will be in L.A. We will get a chance to talk about our work, the Bible College, and to share the things that we are doing that God has placed on our heart to do. So I'm going to try my best to upload a no-show. But anyway, I know we will be caught up, and it will be an opportunity to go and love on Jesus in L.A. It's an awesome opportunity. You have anything you want to say, Cynthia?
No, audience, just know that God loves you in all of your ways and all of your errors, and you always have a chance to get it right, mothers. You always have a chance.
Yeah.
It's just taking the initiative to do what you know to be right. And that is moving towards him, because if he's right, everything else must be wrong. That's all I can say about that.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, and then again, you know, what just popped up in my spirit was, it's no less than when you're out there and you're unsaved. You come to Jesus and you receive him and get salvation in a split second, you're saved. It's the same thing. You come to Jesus and bring your problems and cast them on him and ask him for help, in a split second, you're helped. It's no different. So you can start anytime, any place. We just should drop a seed, drop a word into your mind and your consciousness. Some of it will be for you, some will be for somebody else, but you will know what's for you. And just know, when you felt what something in the middle of this conversation, that was for you. Go to Jesus, ask him to explain it to you, and the Holy Spirit will do that. I'll be right back, Cynthia.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to Ask. drbessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. She said, see you next Saturday at 10 a.m., but I just want to let you know we won't be here next Saturday. We'll probably have an audio uplift. In the meantime, we'll catch you the following Saturday. Have a blessed week. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.